Hey guys, welcome back to the Black and Bold podcast, where we talk about relevant news and interesting topics each week. You're listening to us now on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. I'm Nishan.
I'm Luxon.
And we're going to do something a little bit different today. Instead of going into our weekly topic later, this episode will entirely cover news stories only. And we're starting with, for the fifth time in school history, both the UConn men's and women's basketball teams are in the Final Four. As we all know, the men's team had dominated Illinois 77-52 off of an incredible 30-0 run, one of the most dominant games in not only program, but March Madness history. And we are making our way to the Final Four. And the women's team, battling injuries and depth issues throughout the season, has made their way back to their Final Four after an 80-73 upset of the one seed USC. At the time of making this video, UConn men's will be facing Alabama, and the women's will be facing Iowa for their respective matchups. How do you feel?
I feel pretty good, man. UConn's time is coming again. Just another championship. We ain't new to this. Definitely proud to see both teams have made it this far, especially with the setback that we faced last year for the women's. It was definitely disheartening that they couldn't win it last year, but they're coming back around to redeem themselves, and I'm glad both teams can make it to the Final Four. It's a great time for the school. Some of the pandemonium and some of the mayhem has already started, with some of the light poles being ripped. TMZ didn't mention this, but, you know, it's a great time for the school. I'm definitely excited to be a Husky right now, and I cannot wait for both of those games.
Yeah, so like as he was saying, TMZ had actually posted about how UConn was actually preparing for the eventual riots, by taking out lampposts, taking them down so that people can't yank them out. But you know, the college students still found a way to grab him and to pile them up. You saw the Yik Yak with them, with four of them all stacked next to each other. And, the other ways they've been preparing for riots include adding more lights along Fairfield Way, so now it looks brighter around Gamble Pavilion. And speaking of Gamble, drinking has been banned.
Yeah, they're really trying to take every precaution to make sure that the campus is as safe as possible. But to be quite honest, it's not going to do much. We've already pre-gamed with pulling out some of the light poles, and it's going to be a very chaotic and scary time when we win those championships.
I think it will be a fruitless attempt, honestly. They can't cover everywhere. And now that Huskies moved downtown and there is a watch party over here, there's a good chance that they're just going to ravage through downtown stores.
Yeah, and Husky already has a deal for the game that's going on today and for the game tomorrow. So they already have deals for people to buy. So, I mean, I think, from what I saw, don't quote me on this, but I think they have like $10 for a pitcher of elk, or it might be something else. But they have deals in place which are going to give people access to, you know, the licks. So it's still going to be a crazy time for the school.
Yeah, of course, the University of Connecticut also sent out a whole guide of where everyone who's allowed on campus at the time. Only students will be allowed on campus during certain hours. There will be quiet hours where you're not allowed to make too much ruckus or noise. There's also the fact that the student union will be shut down during these times. Right now we're recording in the UConn student union, and pretty soon we'll actually be kicked out simply because they have to give time for the watch party. And just a lot of crazy stuff has happened around UConn. Even the Husky logo at Gamble fell off the other day.
Yeah, they're trying to get things squared away, but it's not really going to be able to do much. Most institutions are closing at 7:30 today or earlier. I don't know if anything has closed earlier, but they are trying. They're trying to be prepared. They're really trying to not have a repeat of last year. But like you said, it's going to be a fruitless attempt.
Do you think that the riots are going to spread across stores? Because last year it was around anywhere between Gamble and Ted's. That was the main area of chaos. Do you think it will spread southward downtown?
I feel like the riots are going to ensue all over campus. Bookstore, union. Actually, the rec, I don't think it's going to get there simply based on the fact that people see it as too integral to the community and they know they're going to head to the gym tomorrow, so no one really wants to mess with that or any of those pieces of equipment.
Didn't lay a finger on it last year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same for this year, but union's not safe. Bookstore is not safe. New construction zone at South is not safe. Most of the other institutions are just going to face the brunt of very heightened and excited college students this evening and for the duration of this and next week.
Yeah, like these riots are going to be real crazy. Like us, of course, assuming that we win, fingers crossed. UConn natty in our future and back to back.
Yeah, I mean, either way, it's going to be crazy. Win or lose, something is going to happen.
Do you think it's going to be worse than last year? With all the restrictions?
I think it is because both teams have gotten so far and there's so much hype and so much just anticipation towards both of these games. It's going to be chaotic for sure.
Yeah, so in terms of the actual matchups, UConn, both are going to be tough matchups. But right now, the men's team is favored by about 12 points over Alabama. That shouldn't be too hard when I'm thinking about it. And with the women's team, they're actually the underdogs. Iowa is favored by only 2.5 points. So it would be like about 3 points to cover the spread. How do you feel about the I think we'll have a relative easy time with Alabama simply because I think they refuse to play defense, one. Mm-hmm. And two, we can just feed Kling in the ball and give him like easy buckets. And if Alabama chooses to sell out and dogpile on him, we'll just readjust and give it to like a sharpshooter. Mm-hmm. But my main thing was, how do you feel about like Iowa versus UConn, more specifically Paige Beckers versus Caitlin Clark?
I'm not going to lie, man. I'm definitely concerned for that game. That USC game, it definitely had me on the edge of my seat.
Yes.
Some of the women's games have been very just nerve-wracking, like very close games. We've been playing sufficient enough to secure the win, but I don't feel like we've been playing as competitive or as, I would say, professionally as we would need to for a tournament. So I'm definitely more concerned for that game just because of the number of close games that we've had so far. And Caitlin Clark was cooking up against LSU, just banging out. I was watching that game and she was banging out multiple three-pointers, dang near 3-4 in a row. So that's definitely a game that concerns me.
Oh, yeah, like, Caitlin Clark is a wagon. It's going to be crazy, like, dealing with her. But so is Paige. We got Paige.
Yeah,
but anyways, I would say with the women's team, they played a lot of close games. I feel like the funniest thing is that our best performance in, like, the past, like, three games was against the one seed USC. Syracuse was, like, a 6-point win. Duke was, like, a 5-point win. And USC, like, we faced a 6-7-1 seed, and the one seed, we beat them by the most points. It was a 7-point win. Mm-hmm. Actually, we were favored over USC to win despite being a 3 seed versus a 1 seed.
Mm.
It's because of, like, analytics, and we play more efficiently than them despite all these close games. But, that means that we're really good. Like, it is a testament to UConn's strength on, like, a terrible down year where we had one of our worst starts in decades. And that brought us all the way back to a Final Four, and it wasn't like it wasn't like a cakewalk either. Still got to beat a 1 seed. Like, yeah. I applaud it. I definitely applaud them.
We're favored to win again, but you know, I guess we'll just see what happens tonight. Let's go Huskies.
We're not favored over Iowa.
Really? I thought we were favored.
No, Iowa was favored over us by only 2 points.
I retract that previous statement. But still, let's go Huskies.
They're favored by a close enough amount and that if we won, it would not be surprising at all.
Mm.
But ESPN, for some reason, gave us a 60% chance of winning.
Mm.
But you know, I'll take my chances. You know what? Let's go UConn.
Let's go UConn. All right. Moving on to our next new segment. Travis Scott came out with some college merch, but he didn't include UConn. Like, what's up with that?
I know.
He did include a couple of universities like Tulane, Northeastern, NCANT, but he missed a couple of important ones like UConn for one, and North Carolina, Duke, Ohio State, and Texas. Like, what's going on, Travis?
I know. It was like, how do you include Northeastern and North Carolina agriculture and technology, but not the real Huskies, the UConn Huskies, and not the real North Carolina. Like, come on, man.
Wrong dogs, bro. Wrong dogs.
I know. It was crazy, like, to me. It was like, who? How did he come up with Tulane? Like, I mean, no disrespect to Tulane, but I'm just confused. Like, it really shocked me that some very notable brands are, like, out. I mean, he's probably going to come out with more, but I was just like, why? Like, I think the worst thing about it is I don't think I saw Texas merch, but I did see a post of him, like, hyping up, like, the Texas football squad during practice. I was like, why didn't you, like, share the love to Texas? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like, I guess NCAT, I guess, I mean, good for NCAT, I guess, but, like, I know that he hit up some HBCUs, like Grambling State, but, mm-hmm. like, I guess that's a good thing, but some of these were just whack decisions, I'll say that, but I'm not gonna lie, it's not like I'm gonna buy any of that shit anyways.
Like, yeah, he definitely chose the right time to be doing it. He's gonna make a heck of a lot of money, I'm not gonna lie, but, yeah. I don't know why he just decided to neglect us. Like, we are doing incredibly well. Both teams in the Final Four, men's and women's, we are out for blood right now. And even though he can't see that, we see that, and so many other people see that. So, yeah.
The disrespect has been insane. It's been UConn versus the world. Mm-hmm. Like, just got to bring this up. Like, you know, the infamous plane didn't come in time for UConn, so now we had to, like, take a late-ass plane mm-hmm. and head to Phoenix way after everyone else. And then, I know public interviews were cut off because, you know, the team was fucking tired. Mm-hmm. Had to just, like, chill and decompress for a bit. And then we get to the hotels. Now, apparently, our beds are significantly smaller than, like, the other, like, teams. Mm-hmm. And whereas, like, some players, like DJ Burns posted, like, you know, a big-ass king-size bed, you know, mm-hmm. you know, fit for I respect that. Mm-hmm. But then, like, Stephon Castle and Donovan Clingan are posting, like, twin XLs. Like,
yeah, and they're sharing a room. DJ Burns has his own room, so that's also in there.
It was to the point where Barstool, the official Barstool account for all, like, for college as a whole, there were a couple of posts, like, claiming, does the NCAA hate UConn or something? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, but you know what that's doing, though? It's just adding more fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to just make us dominate in the Alabama and Iowa games that we're going to play.
Yo, UConn by 20 instead of 30 now. Like, unfortunately, that plane does take a toll. So UConn by 20 instead of 30 against Alabama. Mm-hmm. But now by 40 because Dan Hurley's pissed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like there was a lot of disrespect. He didn't even get coach of the year. Chose mm-hmm. Houston, and I respect to Houston again, but I just don't see it, bro. Like, what? It was like there's so many good options, and they went full 180 and went with the least logical one. Like, why not choose the coach who had, like, three starters out after winning a national title and has had a blazing hot season to make the Final Four for the second time in a row? Or choose, like, you know, Lamont Paris, like, from South Carolina. That team was expected to finish last in their conference, and they finished a respectable second place. Like, I get what Houston's argument is. It's just that I feel like it's the weakest argument. Like they came from a mid-major and did well in what was considered the best conference. But at the same time, like, Houston was already good. There was no doubt they were going to do well, if that makes sense. But, you know, like you said, more fuel to the fire, bro.
Mm.
Yeah, I just had to get that out of my system. But anyways, speaking of more basketball news, Bronny James has entered the NBA draft and the transfer portal. He retains college eligibility. Now, the freshman guard had a lot of rumors already surrounding him transferring out of USC. LeBron actually got, to the punch, before Bronny did, saying that, he's going to leave it all until what his son believes is the best choice for him. What are your thoughts?
I mean, Bronny is doing this prematurely, and LeBron has to talk some sense into him. Because he's not at the level, or he's not at the... He's not at where he should be in his basketball abilities and skills. I'll leave it there.
I will say this. I'm glad that he still retained college eligibility. Personally, I don't think he's ready. He only averages about 5 points on what was a disappointing losing team. She was only 27% for the three. I looked more into it, and I realized, there's always, the possibility that, you get role players that end up being unexpectedly good in, professional basketball. Sometimes, the environment of college basketball and professional basketball, two completely different environments, so maybe he'll, his skills will translate better into the NBA. But I personally don't see it for now. I don't think he's proven himself. Not to mention that he had the whole issue with a cardiac arrest early into the season. I feel like he needs more time in the oven. You know what I mean? More time to develop as a player. Yeah. More emotional and mental maturity. That's with a lot of players. But I think especially Bronny, I don't want him to end up making the bad decision, the wrong decision, and then he suffers as a whole because they wanted le boy and le daddy in the same conference, the same team. Excuse me. Mm. Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. Pause.
Pause.
I know. Pause.
I know. I was considering saying that. That's why I held it out for so long. Mm-hmm. Pause.
Pause. Double.
Yeah, but anyways, I heard rumors about him going to Duquesne in Pennsylvania. Personally, I don't think he's gonna go somewhere low profile like that school. I'm thinking Ohio State. That's a big-ass school that already had offered him. Mm-hmm. And I think, maybe he could, find a role on that team. But anyways, I just hope he does what's best for him.
Yeah, I hope so, too. One thing's for sure, he needs to build up his craft. He needs to start getting some better numbers and better statistics because some of his percentages are just extremely low and... He needs time to work on that and also, get to hopefully the level of a NBA player.
Yeah, he's below average in field goal, 3-point, and free throw percentage. So I would say offensively he needs to work on some of that. The funny thing is?
What?
Bryce apparently is worse. For his age, Bronny was better at the time despite being shorter. So I guess his kids are not they're not the GOAT, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that just goes to show height does not matter.
Yeah. Maybe they'll tap into insane genetics later. Maybe it's a superpower for them. Yeah.
Maybe they're late bloomers.
Invincible like where he has to learn his powers from his dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but
I mean that's the case with most superhero stories. They have the rough start. They don't know what they're doing. They're somewhat just dicking around. But eventually they learn and they become that guy.
Yo, did you hear that earlier?
What?
The earthquake? The magnitude 4.8 earthquake that hit the northeastern U.S., specifically the states of Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania?
I did hear about it, actually, but I did not feel it. I was unaffected. It was literally news to me because apparently that shit happened while I was in my philosophy discussion. I didn't even know it until my next class, which was a comms class, where it was brought up and I looked into it during class. And apparently there was an earthquake that happened just across these multiple states, and I was shocked because dang, we really got an earthquake, but apparently stores was unaffected by it. But
excuse me. Now, I know some of y'all might have already felt it. I didn't. I was in my dorm at the time, felt nothing. I think it was more so in the South because, like, Southern Connecticut, you know, my family and friends just, like, all called. Like, they called or texted me about it saying, oh, they felt the ground shake and, like, or building shake. It, like, to make it clear, nothing serious. Like, it's not high. It's not that high of magnitude. Not enough to harm anyone in any great way. But it was, like, noticeable shaking, like, ground shaking. But I didn't feel it. It was just interesting. Like, you know, you don't ever hear, like, earthquakes over here.
Yeah. Thankfully, most people were safe. There weren't really any casualty, and there were little to no injuries, as far as I know. And I'm glad that it was just something minor, and I'm glad that no one was significantly affected by this.
Yeah, and my heart goes out to, because I did hear about recent earthquake that hit Taiwan, which was way more devastating, mm-hmm. destroying buildings, killing quite a couple of people. So my heart's out to them, you know, and for the families that they can recover. My condolences to people who struggled during this time. And that's all I gotta say, really.
Mm-hmm. But we have to move on to our next news segment. My heart goes out to them as well. And our next segment is Kendrick disses Drake and J. Cole. If you guys don't already know, or if you guys have been living under a rock, Kendrick dissed Drake and J. Cole on the song Like That off of the Metro Boomin and Future's album We Don't Trust You. And J. Cole recently clapped back at Kendrick in his song 7-Minute Drill, which he actually released today. Meanwhile, Drake has remained quiet and is probably shaking ass somewhere. Any thoughts, Nishan?
Shaking ass, bro. Nah, but anyways, yo, Drake, it's your time to shine. Because I heard Kendrick diss the Drake lyric, like, first. Mm-hmm. And I was just interested to see him, what he would be cooking up, like, as revenge, but he said largely nothing, so I guess it's interesting. J. Cole, I haven't heard, like, his response. What was the response?
J. Cole's response?
Yeah.
I didn't hear much about the lyrics in the song. I was just aware that a diss track was made. I don't know the specific bar that he targeted towards Kendrick, but it's definitely a diss song towards him, and he was dissed in the song. To the best of my knowledge.
Yeah. That's hilarious, though. I will say that.
And apparently Kendrick had already had another diss song saved for, I think it was for Drake or for either one of them. He had another diss song saved. So he has one in the chamber if need be.
Yeah, so I'm looking it up, and J. Cole did take an approach to respond with the release of his new project, Might Delete Later. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this on Variety.com, and it says he opened up by addressing Lamar's diss. I got a phone call. They say that somebody dissing. You want some attention? It comes with extensions. He's still doing shows, but fell off like The Simpsons. Your first shit was classic. Your last shit was tragic. Your second shit put niggas to sleep, but they gassed it. Your third shit was massive, and that was your prime. I was trailing right behind, and I just now hit mine. Damn. Mm. And then, he goes up. He continues. This is still on Variety. He continues by saying he averaging one heart verse like every 30 months or something. If he wasn't distant, then he wouldn't be discussing nothing. Blood don't make me have smoke to this nigga because I fuck with him. But push come to shove on this mic, I will humble him.
Damn. Referencing his one of his earlier projects right there.
What do you think about the lyrics, though?
You know, I think the lyrics is they hitting for what they hitting for. I'll say that.
Yeah. But Drake, like I said, I feel like it, Drake will come out with something ridiculous. I don't Drake is a wild card of a person. You never really know his next move.
Yeah. You know, he's cooking something, but nobody knows what it's going to be.
Yeah, but like, that's pretty much it. Well, the next thing up is that Donovan Klingon has a new personal brand. He was able to secure a new personal brand called Kling Kong today, including merchandise with t-shirts, hoodies, and long-sleeve shirts. I'd recommend you check out because, you know, support your boy, your Bristol boy, Donovan Klingon, and has now stepped his toe into the business side of things. We could not be prouder of him. Your thoughts?
I am proud of him. You know, he's diversifying his net worth, diversifying, like, different ways he can make money, and he's becoming more than just a player. I'm proud of him for just having something else and a different venture, because the case with most or a good amount of basketball players is they stick to basketball, but eventually that stream of income runs out, and some unfortunately fall into bankruptcy. And I'm so happy that he's looking to get into the business side of things, just having a new personal brand, Kling Kong. Check it out. Definitely proud to see that he's doing this. And, you know, I hope it goes well for him.
According to the UConnBlog.com on SB Nation, Klingon has previously stated that he's interested in broadcasting after his playing days are over. Surely has thoughts on the fashion options available for big and tall individuals. I actually didn't know this lore about Klingon. Like, I feel good for him. Like, in case you guys didn't know, his mom passed away, at a relatively early age. It was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And, I've seen his story on Instagram, I won't lie. And, he's, stated or at least, implied a lot of times that he does a lot of it for his mom. Mm. That is touching, I will say that.
Yeah, that's very commendable.
Yeah, but I gotta make this, a Klingon appreciation,
Moment.
Yeah, he's been on a tear. In his last game, he scored 22 points, at least 10 rebounds. He had a double-double, was easy, just making easy dunks, layups, buckets. I hope he does the same thing right now with Alabama, because I feel like he is a great X factor. He recorded 8 blocks. I know that was extreme, but 8 blocks is insane, in his last game. Mm. In his presence alone on the field. He obviously wasn't playing the whole game, but Illinois collectively scored only 14 points when Klingon was on the field.
Mm.
Which, yes, they scored 52 points.
Damn.
Yes.
Shut him the hell out.
The other 38 points was when Klingon was not on the field. Klingon was rejecting the basketball left and right. And I know it wasn't just his doing, but their best player, Terrence Shannon Jr., which I call Ja Morant Jr., on Illinois. He was one of the best players, in the country, honestly. One of the most impactful players. Averaged about, 20-plus, maybe even 33 points in the tournament, specifically, mm-hmm. I believe. Was shut down, held to only, 7 or 8 points.
Yo, when UConn was holding Illinois on that long-ass stretch with them just being shut out, that was probably quite literally one of the best performances I've seen out of them, because, yo, that was just absurd. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
I don't have another word for it.
I think that might be the single best performance I've ever seen any college basketball team perform. They completely turned their switch off. Illinois could not do anything.
Shut them out for 7 minutes straight. Damn near half of the half.
That's
crazy.
In real time, it took them about 50 minutes to make their next basket.
That's scary right there.
You want me to tell you the funny thing about it?
What?
Illinois is a better version of Bama.
Welp, rest in peace, Bama. Rest in peace.
Crimson Tide. I know they say Roll Tide, but it's Roll Skis over here. They're rolling home, bro.
Yeah. That tide is not ruling.
Yeah.
It's stagnant.
It's washed out, bro.
Yeah, bro.
That's all I'm going to say. Damn, I still find that insane. Got them locked up. And that was the craziest part was that at the end of the first half, it was only 23-28. Mm-hmm. We played pretty shit. I'm not going to lie.
Mm.
Or at least not even shit, but it was just underwhelming. We weren't pulling away.
Yeah, we were just matching them.
Yeah, but I was like, Yeah, sometimes like with UConn, if it's not in the first half, it's in the second half. You can rely on UConn to just obliterate their opponent, just blaze past them.
Yeah, we get some fire in that second half. I'm not gonna lie to you. You know, just like starting, we have a bit of a slower start, I've noticed, in most of our games. But when we need to lock in, we seriously do lock in.
Yeah, props to Dan Hurley and the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been like, you know how bad it is? This whole tourney alone, we've only trailed in 28 seconds. For 28 seconds, we have trailed only once. And that was at the beginning of the game against San Diego State.
That is a magnificent statistic.
Yes.
I'm not going to lie to you.
We have spent at least twice the amount of time, like in our past two tournaments, we spent twice the amount of time with a tied score than we have losing.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is just insane. Just obliterating teams left and right. I mean, we did this last year with like Gonzaga. Gonzaga was a 3 seed. We were a 4 seed. 30 piece them. They had one of the best players in the country. Shut him down. Light switch off.
Yeah, bro. We have a habit of turning that guy into just a guy, bro. Like we really do know how to put on a performance like the best of any player, or the best player could go against us, and we just don't care. We just see them as an obstacle just to get past. Like, I don't feel like we get that intimidated by any team.
Don't really get rattled. Like, yeah. Basically every team to us is like DePaul. It's like basically a crap team. Not to say that they are crap teams, but we treat them like they are in a weird way.
Yeah,
because it's like
pickings.
Like at the beginning of the year, we scheduled like a cupcake conference, and then we were beating teams by roughly the same amount, not far off. Mm. Yeah, it's just crazy. We make Clark Kent out of Superman.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but you know, the obligatory go Huskies. You know, hopefully we get far. Like, well, we already got far, but hopefully we go even further.
Yeah.
Imagine a matchup, a double matchup with UConn versus NC State in both, like, tourneys.
Yo, I don't know how much our campus would be able to just stand that.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Because it's like, this is also, by the way, the first time in which two schools in a given year have both the men's and women's teams in the Final Four.
Yo, our campus's life force is just getting drained, bro. Like, the amount of damage that's going to ensue when we get to those championships is going to be monumental. Like, they're going to have to, unfortunately, they're going to have to really just knock up tuition. They're going to do it, but it's going to be bad.
Realistically, it's just, that's going to be their excuse. They're going to do it anyways. But one more applause for the UConn teams, like basketball teams. This program there is no program that is better than UConn right here, the basketball capital of the world. 16 championships and could be as much as 18 when this is all over.
Yeah. Our women are playing tonight, and all I can say to them is just knock them dead.
Yeah, knock them dead. Yeah, but anyways, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Black and Bold podcast, where we talk about relevant news and interesting topics each week. You're listening to us on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. I'm Nishan.
I'm Luxon.
Be sure to check us out on our other platforms, and
have a good-ass day.